No sooner did we pass into Galilee than we began to hear about what John the Baptist was doing in Judea. "Hundreds have followed him into the desert," we heard in Gishala. "Some say he is the Messiah," one man told us in Baca.
"Herod is afraid of him," said a woman in Cana.
"He's another crazy holy man," said another Roman soldier in Sepphoris. "The Jews breed them like rabbits. I hear he drowns anyone who doesn't agree with him. First sensible idea I've heard since I was sent to this accursed territory."
"May I have your name, soldier?" I asked.
"Caius Junius of the 6th Legion."
"Thank you. We'll keep you in mind." To Josh, I said, "Caius Junius, front of the line when we start shoving Romans out of the kingdom into the fiery abyss."
"What did you say?" said the Roman.
"No, no, don't thank me. You earned it. Right at the front of the line you go, Caius."
"Biff," Josh barked, and once he had my attention, he whispered, "Try not to get us thrown into prison before we get home, please."
I nodded and waved to the legionnaire as we rode away.
"Just crazy Jew talk. Pay no attention. Whimper Fidelis," I said.
"We have to find John after we see our families," Joshua said. "Do you think that he's really claiming to be the Messiah?"
"No, but it sounds like he knows how to get the word out."
We rode into Nazareth a half hour later. I suppose we expected more upon our arrival. Cheering, maybe. Little children running at our heels, begging for tales of our great adventures. Tears and laughter. Kisses and hugs. Strong shoulders to bear the conquering heroes through the streets. What we'd forgotten was that while we were traveling, having adventures and experiencing wonders, the people of Nazareth had been living through the same old day-to-day crap. A lot of days had passed, and a lot of crap. When we rode up to Joshua's old house, his brother James was working outside under the awning, shaving a piece of olive wood into a strut for a camel saddle. I knew it was James the moment I saw him. He had Joshua's narrow, hooked nose and wide eyes, but his face was more weathered than Josh's, and his body heavier with muscle. He looked 10 years older than Joshua, rather than the 2 years younger that he was. He put down his spoke shave and stepped out into the sunlight, holding up a hand to shield his eyes.
"Joshua?"
Joshua tapped his camel on the back of his knees with the long riding crop, and the beast lowered him to the ground.
"James!"
Joshua climbed off the camel and went to his brother, his arms out as if to embrace him, but James stepped back. "I'll go tell mother that her favorite son has returned." James turned away, and I saw the tears literally shoot out of Joshua's eyes into the dust.
"James!"
Joshua was pleading.
"I didn't know. When?"
James turned and looked at his half-brother in the eye. There was no pity there, no grief, just anger.
2 months ago, Joshua. Joseph died 2 months ago. He asked for you."
"I didn't know," Joshua said, still holding his arms out for the embrace that wasn't going to come.
"Go inside. Mother has been waiting for you. She starts every morning wondering if this is the day you'll return. Go inside."
He turned away as Joshua went past him into the house. Then James looked up at me. The last thing he said was, "Tell the bastard I love him."
"The bastard?" I said, as I coaxed my camel to let me down.
"That's what he always called Joshua. I wonder how the bastard is doing. I wonder where the bastard is today. Always talking about the bastard. And mother yammering on, always about how Joshua did this, and Joshua did that, and what great things Joshua would do when he returned. And all the while, I'm the one looking out for my brothers and sisters, taking care of them when father got sick, taking care of my own family. Still, was there any thanks? A kind word? No, I was doing nothing more than paving Joshua's road. You have no idea what it's like to always be second to Joshua."
"Really?" I said. "You'll have to tell me about that sometime," I said.
"Tell Josh if he needs me, I'll be at my father's house."
"My father is still alive, isn't he?"
"Yes, and your mother too."
"Oh, good. I didn't want to put one of my brothers through breaking the painful news." I turned and led my camel away.
"Go with God, Levi," James said.
I turned. James, it is written, to the work you are entitled, but not the fruits thereof.
I've never heard that. Where is that written?
In the Bhagavad Gita, James. It's a long poem about going into battle, and this warrior's god tells him not to worry about killing his kinsmen in battle because they are already dead. They just don't know it yet.
I don't know what made me think of it.